This is the Jeff Horovitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
U.S. Senate candidate Blake Masters returns to the show. Plus, let's talk cryptocurrency and blockchain with Ben, and Glenn of IDX Digital Assets. The Jeff Horovitz Show starts now. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horovitz here. Happy to be here with you today. It's actually Ben McMillan. He's the Chief Investment Officer with IDX Digital Assets, and Ben Jacobson, who's the Managing Director of IDX Digital Assets. Glenn Least is with WT Wealth Management. He connected us, and in the second hour of the show, we're going to talk cryptocurrencies, blockchain, and what it is, and try, because I always ask this question, what the heck is blockchain? What the heck is cryptocurrency? Because this is something that's here to stay, and it has implications beyond just the crypto world, just when you think of Bitcoin or whichever of the thousands of coins that are out there. But there's all kinds of technology behind this in the blockchain world, I guess we'd say. Anyway, we figured we'd bring in some experts on this. Ben and Glenn connected us, and we'll chat in the next hour, so stick around for that. Plus, today, coming up here in the next segment, we've got interview with U.S. Senate candidate for the Republican nomination, Blake Masters, returning to the program. As you know, last time he was on the show, I think he was in like third place in this heated race for the U.S. Senate for the GOP nomination. This was back in April. He since has gotten President Trump's endorsement, and he has since shot pretty far ahead in the polls, it looks, for this U.S. Senate race. And in the same time, someone who's been on this program many times, the Attorney General of Arizona, Mark Brnovich, has sunk to third, and Jim Lehman is a close second, according to the polls, if you trust the polls. Jim Lehman's second, so this almost looks like a contest between Masters and Lehman for this nomination. We shall see. There's also the Trump rally that's happening tomorrow in Prescott Valley, which Blake Masters is going to be at, and you heard from Carrie Lake earlier in the week. She's going to be there as well. Blake will give us information on still getting tickets to go to that event. But an interesting race. And since Blake came on the program, his interview, as you know, went viral national when he was here back in April. This thing was picked up by just about every newspaper, Rolling Stone. We joke about that, covering the cover of the Rolling Stone. It was on HBO. They used the interview and controversy. There was a controversy that swirled around it when we talked about violence in the inner cities. You can get that full interview by going to talkwithjeff.com. It's still up there. But we'll hear what's new from Blake Masters and get into quite a few topics, so stick around. And I'd love to hear from you. The Just Wireless listener line is always open. Leave a comment today, 877-9713-971. You can also send me an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. I want to get to my news picks, my top news picks first. We try to start the show off like that every day, including Biden testing positive for COVID. I've got some financial or money things that I want to talk to you about here. I've got a shootout in Ash Fork, and Congressman Paul Gosar chiming in on the Attorney General's race and going on a bit of a tweet storm regarding one of the AG candidates. I'll give you some of those details. Before we get to that, I want to mention our first sponsor of the day, and it's Desert Gold Exchange. And if you haven't called them to ask for your free investor's kit yet, you should, because we live in a time where I know you have to be extremely educated and always be looking at your finances, whether you're just starting out or you're somewhere in the middle, or you're, somebody who's invested a lot of money and has a sizable portfolio. I don't give investment advice, but I am a strong advocate as to education. So you can call Desert Gold Exchange, ask for their free investors kit. Just mention the Jeff Horovitz Show and they'll send you that up. And Justin and his team at Desert Gold Exchange, they know their stuff and they keep their overhead low. They'll talk with you about gold and silver, about physical delivery, usually in 48, 72 hours. They'll talk to you about the crazy inflation, the money printing, all of that. And they'll give you a really good deal because they pass those savings on to you. So give Desert Gold Exchange a call. Talk with Justin and his team, 888-852-4343. That's 888-852-4343. And it is so important, like I said, to just be educated. That's why we're bringing the crypto guys on later today to talk about that. That's why we've talked about stocks. That's why I think on tomorrow's program, I think we have Kelly Broadus to give you a huge real estate market update. You're going to want to tune in for this one because things have definitely changed. So just looking at all these markets and being aware of what's going on, I think is really important. All right. Before we get to Crypto Talk with Ben and Ben, and before we get to Blake Masters, we'll go over my top news picks coming up. Oh, don't forget about our giveaway, too. I'm going to see if we can get Olivia in here to add another giveaway item to our growing list. Right now, we got $35 value at Timberline Firearms and Training, which is range time and a gun rental. You bring your own ammo or buy your ammo there. We got a $50 debit, Visa debit card, so cash, essentially, courtesy of Gettles High Desert Mechanical, $50. And then we've got $20 in there from Sportsman's Bar and Grill. And we'll add another one here later on. You got to go to talkwithjeff.com, click on sponsors and giveaways, and fill out the form there. Just your name, your email, and a quick comment. And we'll try to read some of those. We love your comments. A lot of great comments coming in. So do that. Talkwithjeff.com, click on sponsors and giveaways. All right, this is from the Associated Press. President Joe Biden tested positive for COVID-19 on Thursday and is isolating with quote-unquote very mild symptoms, the White House said, as new variants of the highly contagious virus challenge the nation's efforts to get back to normal after 2.5 years of pandemic. I hate sentences like this. Who writes this stuff? What virus challenge? Okay, yeah, the virus is out there. The virus has been out there for 2.5 years. Most people have gotten it. When we see someone like President Biden get it, it's proof that everybody's going to get this thing, no matter how much you hide, no matter how much you isolate, no matter how hard you try not to get this thing, put on 15 masks, you're going to get it. And you know what? You're probably going to be just fine because 99.99 whatever percent are just fine after they get it. I got it. I have family that got it. I know people that got this thing twice. You're going to be okay, most likely. That's life. What's there to get back to normal? Just get back to normal. Just, it is what it is. It's out there. Unbelievable. Anyway, the White House press secretary said Biden had begun taking Paxlovid, an antiviral drug designed to reduce the severity of the disease. He was isolating in the family quarters of the White House and, quote, continuing to carry out all of his duties fully, she said. Whew, fully, okay, and badly, we might add, with what's his approval rating? 30-something percent? It probably won't go lower than that because those people just like lemons off a cliff, I guess. Just keep doing those duties fully, I guess. Biden, 79, is fully vaccinated after getting two doses. Let me repeat this. Biden, 79, is fully vaccinated after getting two doses of the Pfizer coronavirus vaccine shortly before taking office. And he got a first booster shot in September, and then he got an additional dose back in March, on March 30th. So fully boosted up. I didn't spend a lot of time looking at the press releases and stuff because, you know, mind-numbing stuff, and I just don't have time and just, quite frankly, really don't care. I wish them the best. I don't want anyone to get sick. Getting sick sucks. I don't want anything to happen to him, of course, because Kamala Harris, and then what's her name? Nancy Pelosi and her crooked husband with the, I shouldn't say, I take that back. None of them are crooked. They're just great stock pickers. There's no insider trading going on. Nothing to see here. But anyway, you got Kamala second in line, and then you got, Pelosi third in line. So, you know, it goes from bad to worst to worst of all. They didn't mention Fauci. I didn't see any talk about Fauci shooting off his mouth. Remember, Fauci's the highest paid government employee in all the land. And he's given so much bad advice over the years. I hope nothing. I mentioned this to Mark Howitt yesterday. I hope we get back to a point where I can trust the CDC and the National Health Institute and all of that. I want to be able to trust that. If there's a virus out there that, you know, 50% fatality rate or something like that, I want to know about that and I want to have faith in the system. But why do we still have these people hanging around like Fauci? Anyway, love your thoughts. TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. That's TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. Speaking of getting paid, this one just kind of interested me. I came across this article in the Verde Independence. VerdeIndependent.com is a Cottonwood Camp Verde newspaper. And it shows what your elected representatives get paid in the area. This is for like mayor and council members because the town of Camp Verde is looking at raising what they pay the mayor and council to $6,000 for a council member per year and $9,000 for mayor. Here's according to the Verde Independent, Prescott Valley what is this? Mayer gets paid $12,600. Prescott and Cottonwood are about $9,000. So Camp Verde will be right there. Pace and Pace, $10,800. What's this other one here? Sedona is $8,400 is what the mayor gets paid, and Camp Verde was down to like $4,200. On the council side, Prescott Valley is $8,400 for a council member per year, and then you've got the other ones at $6,000, Payson, Cottonwood, Prescott. You've got Sedona at $6,000, and you've got Camp Verde was $3,000 a year to get paid. You don't do this to make the money, but yeah, it seems like pretty low, especially for a mayor's position. Flagstaff, by contrast, I didn't mention this in here. Flagstaff city council members get paid $24,000 a year, and I believe the mayor gets paid $36,000 per year. So, it is interesting. Because, I mean, these are lower paying jobs. You've got the, state representatives, the Senate members and the House members. They both get paid $24,000 a year, basically for what's become a full-time job. And then you've got members of Congress. I believe last time I checked, if you're in Congress, you get like $170,000 a year, which, you know, that's a really good salary. But of course, you got to live in DC, which is a super expensive place. What's amazing is how these politicians, and we've seen quite a few of them over the decades who have been there forever, they get in, they have no assets. They make $170,000 a year, which is good. And you could actually make a nest egg out of that and invest that over time and make really good money. But it's exorbitant how wealthy a lot of these people become with their only skills being politicians. I'm talking about these multi-decade long politicians. Who's that one out of California that she went in and now she's worth millions and millions of dollars? I guess there's quite a few of them, but they always manage to come out with a lot more money, especially on the national level. Speaking of money, like I said, we're going to have Ben McMillan, Chief Investment Officer with IDX Digital Assets, and also Ben Jacobson talking crypto. Glenn Lease will be along as well. Talk crypto and blockchain next hour. I already mentioned that, but stick around because that's going to be an interesting conversation. People are always asking me, and I got an email here, what do you do with your dollars in this crazy world? And I always say this, look at where you're spending it and put your money where your mouth is, and always try to educate yourself, like I said earlier, about different things to do. I don't give investment advice, but one thing that I've started doing is pulling my money away from companies that don't have the same values. If I don't need to use them, I mean, there's some things that you just can't get around. Disney comes to the top of the list here. Any subscriptions, anything like that, it's just not worth it. I know there's a lot of Disney fanatics out there, and it's like really exciting to go to Disney World or Disneyland, but whatever, you know, it's really crowded. And now you got to worry about brawls. Did you see this video? Two families apparently in Disney World, two large families were seen caught on video brawling in Disney World, just duking it out. It was ridiculous. Disney, with all its woke problems, internal memos are going around that a lot of employees are frustrated because of the course and the track that Disney is taking. So unreal continues on. But put your money where your mouth is, you know? I mean, do you really need to fund Disney and some of these machines going forward? One more news item here before we go to break and get to Blake Masters. Shootout, I guess, in Ash Fork. This is from 3TV. Ash Fork. Yavapai County Sheriff's deputies are investigating a gunfight that left two people hurt early Thursday morning in Ash Fork. YCSO officials said they got a call about a shooting in Ash Fork just off Cook's Trail around midnight. The caller reported two people had been shot and that the, quote, guy with the gun said he wasn't going to put it down when law enforcement arrives. As a precaution, 15 officers were called to respond along with the county SWAT team. Wow. The first deputies from Yavapai and Coconino counties arrived to find two shooting victims and made the decision to move in and help them without waiting for SWAT. One man had multiple leg injuries while the other had head wounds, excuse me. Officials say the deputies put the two men into their patrol cars or vehicles and drove them to nearby EMS crews. They were then flown to hospitals in the area where the current conditions are unknown. This is all from 3TV. The suspect quickly surrendered to deputies and then searched the scene and found multiple weapons, shell casings, and a blood trail leading to a nearby home. Deputies didn't find any other shooting victims. It's unclear what led up to the shooting. The Yavapai County Sheriff's Office is investigating. I don't know what happened there, but bet you a lot of beer was involved, but we shall see. So shooting in, I shouldn't laugh. I'm not laughing. I'm just saying, hold my beer. Hey, I'd love to hear from you. Just Wireless listener lines open 877-971-3971. Leave your comments, and I love hearing from you. Olivia and I try to get some of your emails as well. talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Write down this number as well, because you may need it in the future. I hope you don't, but if you do, you need to deal with the absolute best, and that's Mammoth Restoration. Quite frankly, they're going to take care of stuff that you just don't want to take care of, whether it's water extraction, commercial drying, mold remediation, smoke deodorization, fire and soot cleanup, trauma and biohazard, just about anything that can happen in really bad situations, sewer backups, things like that. I've seen that happen where the city cleans the sewer line and it backs up into the house and floods it. Nobody wants to handle this stuff, but they will. Mammoth Restoration, they'll clean it, they'll restore it, they'll get it right. Write this number down, save it for later. 24/7, 365 day a year, emergency services. 877-714-0050. That's 877-714-0050. Keep this number. Call them if you need them. Mammoth Restoration, 877-714-0050. All right. Come back with U.S. Senate candidate Blake Masters. Back in a minute. Welcome back. Jeff Horvitz here. We do have U.S. Senate candidate Blake Masters coming up here in just a second. A lot of ground to cover with just over a week left to go before the election, although you're all getting your early ballots. So it's happening right now. Hey, if you're looking for new blinds, shutters, or shades, call my friends at the Blind Brothers. They will help you out because they're a great Arizona company. You're not dealing with some website or some 800 number. You can call them. And you can mention a Jeff Horvitz show. You can get half off installation in addition to any other advertised specials. Give the Blind Brothers a call right now, 928-634-2423. That's 928-634-2423. Or you can go to theblindbrothers.com. All right, returning to the program. It's been a couple months. Candidate for U.S. Senate for the GOP nomination, Blake Masters. Blake, hey, how you doing?
Jeff, doing great. Thanks for having me.
You're almost there. It's happening, right? I mean, we're talking a little more than a week away. I think last time we spoke, you know, the polls have changed a lot, and you have been the front runner according to the polls here, last couple polls that have come out. So a big change.
Feeling good, you know. I'm out there in the lead. We're building on our healthy lead, but I'll tell you, Jeff, I'm not taking it for granted.
Yeah.
You know, you can't get complacent about these things. I'm in first place, but we're sprinting like I'm the underdog, and that's going to be important.
Well,
you know, and we'll pass the post August 2nd, then it's a sprint to November.
Yeah.
Because we have to beat Mark Kelly.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll get into Mark Kelly here in just a second, who's always welcome to come on the show, but surprisingly, he's turned down all the invites. We've never heard from
him.
I've seen him on his cool guy commercials on TV with the motorcycle and the shirt sleeves, you know, but whatever. So you got President Trump coming in, rescheduled for Friday. Why don't you give us the details on that big event? We spoke with Carrie Lake here just the other day. She told us a bit about it, but still got tickets out there, right?
Yep, absolutely. You can go to President Trump's website, donaldjtrump.com, and sign up for tickets. I believe tickets are free. And that's going to be a lot of fun. It's in Prescott Valley tomorrow. I think it's at the Findlay Toyota Center.
Okay.
And, you know, if you haven't been to a Trump rally, I mean, you've probably heard or like, these things are more like rock concerts than, you know, traditional political events. And it's just going to be high energy, so much fun, so many patriots getting together who are just ready to take this country back. It's going to be awesome.
And one of the things, and we spent a lot of time talking about this on the last time you were on, Blake, one of the biggest issues affecting us here in Arizona, but really this, when I have guests on from around the country, it affects them as well. It's the border. I see some people, even some Democrats now, are saying, oh, we got to do something about the border. I'm like, well, what have you been doing the past 2 years? What do you do about the border? I've heard from a lot of candidates. They kind of say, oh, we got to secure the border. But what is that? How do we fix it?
Well, you know, we know what a good piece of border legislation would look like, right? We got to triple the size of Border Patrol, finish President Trump's wall, re-implement Remain in Mexico, mandatory e-verify. I'm a tech guy, so I want technology to help us lock that border down, right? Infrared cameras to map every inch. We can tell where the tunnels are and blow them up. We know what to do. Jeff, the problem is we lack the political will. You know, Democrats don't want to seal the border. Quite the opposite. They want the open border, and too many Republicans get squeamish about it, right? They don't want to be called racist. I mean, you don't have border security if you're not being willing to deport people. You know, I think we need to, at a minimum, you know, deport obviously every single criminal. I mean, Jeff, there's just a Guatemalan illegal alien who raped a 10-year-old girl in Ohio. And ICE knew about this guy, but they weren't allowed by the Biden administration to deport him. Mark Kelly doesn't want to deport people like that before they have the chance to hurt children. And so I think this is just so crazy. We got to get in. We got to make Biden's life hell, not give him a thing he wants, not a single thing, unless and until he restarts construction of the border wall. It gets easy to solve in January 2025, you know, because we'll have a strong Republican back in the White House. But in the next 2 years, we're just going to be fighting with the Biden administration, fucking his agenda, and using all the leverage we have in Congress to get border security. It's priority number one.
I hope that's the case, Blake. And we're talking with Blake Masters, candidate for U.S. Senate. I said this on the program the other day and quite a few times, to be honest with you. I'm a registered Republican. I'm giving Republicans one more shot. I felt like 2016, when President Trump came in, we had control of the presidency and the House and the Senate. And finally, at the end, when it was election time, we got tax reform, which was great. But we could have done so much more. And I look at the Democrats who, whenever they get in power, they're full speed ahead, rowing all the same direction. And I had a friend of mine on the show the other day saying, as a right, we need to get louder. Because the left, they're in your face with this stuff, and they're relentless, and we tend to back off, and then a lot of Republicans get into office, and quite frankly, they turn to rhinos.
That's right, and I'm tired of Republicans who just play defense, tired of Republicans who think it's enough to just win an election. Look, winning elections is important, right? We have to beat Mark Kelly. But what good is it if you just replace Mark Kelly with, yeah, a guy who's got an R next to his name, he's a Republican, but if that guy says vote Democrat when you need him most, like Mitt Romney or Collins or Murkowski, right? What good is it? You know, it's not enough. And so what I want to do is just learn from President Trump and play offense, right? We need Republicans who know that we're about to lose the country. 2022 and 2024, I think these elections go together. If we get the right Republicans in office who understand that this is mission critical for this republic, we have to start playing offense and not just resist the left, but take back ground, right? Take back these institutions. Well, then we have a chance. So I think it's going to be tough. We've got our work cut out for us, but no more rhinos, no more Republicans who just want to play defense. We need to be bold. We need to play offense.
Let me back up, Blake, to something. You mentioned big tech a little while ago, and I think your background is with big tech or with technology. I don't give me your background, especially a lot of listeners out there who maybe are undecided and those independents that maybe are pulling the Republican ballots. What is your background, and is there a battle with big tech coming, and how do you see that playing out?
Yeah, you grew up in Tucson, Arizona, where I live now. Met my wife in middle school there. But after high school, I went out to Stanford. In Stanford Law School, right there in Silicon Valley. And I spent the first 6 years of my career working in Silicon Valley. I linked up with a guy named Peter Thiel. If you don't know who Peter is, he's the one Silicon Valley billionaire who's outspokenly conservative. He's an excellent tech investor, but he's also a really great political mind. And he, who's a close personal friend with Donald Trump, he backed Trump in 2016. He was his biggest backer in business, and I got to help with that. And then when I came back to Arizona 3 or 4 years ago, you know, the state had changed. And I got freaked out when both the Senate seats, which were reliably ruby red when I was a kid, all of a sudden, what? Arizona has 2 Democrat Senate seats? No, I wasn't okay with that. So I decided to run for office. But yeah, I've made big tech, right? Combating big tech, reining in these companies, a central pillar to my campaign. Because unlike everybody, basically, in the U.S. Senate, with one or two exceptions, they don't understand stuff. And I do. I know, because I know these people. I know the software engineers at Facebook. You know, I know the way they think. And I'm telling you, Jeff, big tech is an existential threat to this country. The fact that they were able to censor President Trump, to rip him and Marjorie Taylor Greene off of Facebook and Twitter, I think is crazy. It should literally be illegal. I think we need to treat Facebook and Twitter as common carriers and ban them from discriminating against people based on the political content of their views, right? And then we can talk about election integrity, but that's what I worry most about with big tech. You know, I think weeks before the mules got to work stuffing ballots or whatever, Facebook and Google had done so much to basically just hand the election to Joe Biden in 2020, right? They did it by censoring the Hunter Biden laptop story. And so if we don't get young, smart, tech-savvy conservatives in office to hold these companies accountable, to rein them in, to break them up if need be, then you're not going to have election integrity. You're not going to have a free country.
Has anything been fixed? And what do you see that needs to be fixed, if not, with election integrity? I had Dr. Kelly Ward on, I believe, yesterday. We talked about the censuring of Speaker of the House, Rusty Bowers. And one of the issues was we didn't get the election integrity things through. I was very shocked that the legislature didn't do that. But we see it on a national level. We saw the push for, what was that, H.R. 1, which is basically the nationalization of our elections. Have we made any progress? What do you see that needs to be done going forward, Blake?
We've made some progress, but man, it's not enough. We've gone inches where we've needed to go feet, you know, if not a mile. And the problem is in the Arizona state legislature, yeah, it's Republican in both chambers, but only narrowly. You know, it's 31 to 29 in the House, 16 to 14 in the Senate. So you get guys like Rusty Bowers, you know, who says he's a Republican, but again, he votes like a Democrat when you need him most. And they just spike the good election integrity bills. So it's why 2022 is so important. If we can get fair elections, if we can overwhelm the system and get more of a majority in the state legislature. I know a lot of great state legislators who would love to run, champion those great election integrity bills. That said, you know, we did get rid of the federal only ballot in Arizona, you know, reaffirmed its right to require proof of U.S. citizenship in order to register to vote. So there's some things that are going to be better, but unfortunately, you know, we're still going to have the Dominion machines. We're still going to have a lot of the same processes. What we need to do is understand that 2022 and 2024 are existential. You got to run the best candidates, running the boldest, clearest America First agendas, and we got to get active. Poll observers, poll workers, right? We need boots on the ground, eyes and ears on the ground, because if the left tries to cheat, man, we got to be there right there on election day, ready to catch it.
Another thing that you've made a big point of, Blake, is the crime. We talked about this on the last program, I believe is the interview in April, which almost landed you and I on the cover of the Rolling Stone. This thing went viral. I'm sure you're aware of that. And we talked about violent crime, and a lot of it's happening in the big cities. Since we last spoke, we've seen more. We've seen people getting shot out in the streets. I mean, you see it every day. What's the solution? I'll ask the same question that I asked you the other day. What's the problem? What's the solution here with the crime that I think is escalating?
Yeah, the problem is lawlessness. And, you know, as a culture, and this is being pushed by the left, but we're losing this will to lock bad people up, to slap the handcuffs on, right, to enforce discipline. And, you know, the Democrats actually think they want it this way. And that's why they're not doing anything to stop it. And indeed, quite the contrary, right? Like the Democrats are happy with this George Soros machine that goes and funds all these left-wing DAs who then act like their job is not to prosecute anybody, right? And so in these big cities especially, that's where it starts, this culture of lawlessness. I mean, homicide is up 50% in Phoenix. That's just since 2019. In my hometown of Tucson, homicide is up 87% since 2019, wow. Right? That literally means almost twice as many people are getting murdered. This is really crazy. And, you know, people shy away from this. And yeah, you know, people wanted to make the whole controversy of what I said on your program last time, but it's bipartisan, the failure. It's Republicans don't want to talk about urban crime, right? Because they're terrified of being called racist. And Democrats don't want to talk about big city crime because they're okay with it. You know, they want Phoenix to look more like Chicago, more like Baltimore. And I just have a problem with that. If you don't have law and order, you don't have anything, really.
Yeah, you can't contract business. You can't go about your daily lives in these any communities, and it's an absolute train wreck. Well, going forward, so you get through the primary here, and then you're up against Democrat Mark Kelly, who has this image, who has this the media really behind him, you know, portraying him a certain way. And you are, Blake, very outspoken, obviously. And, you know, we talked about the controversial interview back in April, but, you say it how you feel it is and people hit you on it and they'll throw out the, racist card and all of this stuff. So how do you see going up against Mark Kelly, who's going to be, you know, it portrayed as squeaky clean, you know, astronaut, Navy pilots, going into the general election?
Well, you know, I think we just have to tell the truth about him. And yeah, we'll say it boldly and loudly, but we just have to expose his left-wing voting record. You know, Mark Kelly is a biographical candidate. He's got an impressive resume. It's like, congratulations, you're a fighter pilot, and you were an astronaut. And, you know, of course, he's Gabby Gifford's husband. That's what he runs as. And he did that in 2020. I guess it worked, but only barely. And in 2020, he did not have a voting record. Well, now he does. Jeff, you know this as well as I do. He spent the last 8 months voting like a communist in the United States Senate. He basically votes in lockstep with Chuck Schumer and Bernie Sanders in service of this Biden inflation, open borders agenda. And so he'll pretend to be a moderate, but I'm sorry, he's not. He's a radical, and we can get that message out. We just need to tie him to the failures of the Biden regime. And, you know, I don't think people care if he was a fighter pilot and an astronaut when gas costs $5.50. And crime is going up in your town. And, you know, you got an open border that you're seeing the consequences of every day. And then in the schools, they're trying to teach your kid to be confused about their gender. Look, this is just so crazy. And Mark Kelly is an enabler of this crazy agenda. I think he's going to pay for it in November.
I think a lot of people gave a pass, like you said, because of I think you summed it up really good, Blake, the biography there. But what have you done? And where's the country at now? The country's an absolute, utter mess. I've never seen it this bad. People I talk to who remember the 70s very well, or even people remember the post-World War II inflationary times and, you know, the economy dumping at that point, don't remember it this bad. And they've mucked this up like I couldn't even imagine that they would have. I knew they'd muck it up, Blake, but geez.
You got to hand it to them, right? And from their perspective, they want it this way. That they're not trying to make things good. That's what I just find unforgivable. But I think we're going to punish them. We're going to do it by telling the truth. 88%, I just saw the stat, Jeff, 88% of Americans agree we're going in the wrong direction. Okay, a lot of Democrats are in that figure, 88%. Even the Democrats know we're going in the wrong direction, which is why they're stuck telling lies. So yeah, the media will lie about me. Mark Kelly will lie about me. Some of my Republican opponents are lying about me right now, but it's because they know that when I'm the candidate delivering the America First message, we win and they lose.
All right, Blake, just a reminder to everyone, this may be the last time you're on before the primary coming up here on August 2nd. You can still get your Trump tickets. Blake, you'll be speaking there, I'd imagine. I think you got Carrie Lake. Is Congressman Biggs still coming? I talked with him like a week ago.
I hope he is. I'm not sure.
And then Congressman Gosar may be there. I know I talked with him as well. Okay, Blake, go get those tickets, and we wish you the best. We'll talk with you soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jeff. Absolutely. And I love your comments, folks. Send an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Sponsors, Mercedes-Benz of Flagstaff. You know, don't suffer the heat of the valley. You can get your pre-owned Mercedes-Benz right in Flagstaff. You know, if you're in the Prescott area, Sedona area, Verde Valley, anywhere like that, it's actually a little bit quicker just to head on up to Flagstaff. It's much cooler, and you'll find some great deals. You're not going to find a better deal in Phoenix. You can choose a new or pre-owned Mercedes-Benz or shop dozens of other hand-picked luxury brands. And if they don't have it, they can find it. They've got their cool vehicle locator where they can find virtually any car you want delivered in about 48 hours. Don't suffer the heat. Go to Mercedes-Benz in Flagstaff, right behind the Flagstaff Mall in the auto park. Hang tight. Back in just a minute. Welcome back. Jeff Horvitz here. Love your comments. The Just Wireless listener line, leave your comments 877-9713-971, or you can email me anytime, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. I've got something here from Congressman Paul Gosar regarding the Attorney General's race. I want to share with you just some thoughts about a YouTube video I watched as well when it comes to the economy and inflation. I'll get to that here in just a second. Tomorrow, we'll talk with Kelly Broaddus of Kelly Broaddus Real Estate Advisors. She's going to give us a big market update, so make sure you listen. That'll be during the 4 o'clock hour. I'm pretty sure. I'm 92.5% sure that that's when we're doing it, but definitely tomorrow. And this will be an important one to listen to. If you're in the market for a home and you need to get financing, which let's be honest, most people do. And when you need to buy a home, you need to buy a home. And tough market out there still, but you need someone in your corner, that someone like I've worked with, and that's Kim Dawson. She's done an excellent job for me. I refinanced an investment property, and she still got me a very good rate. There are still very good rates to be had out there. Why don't you give Kim Dawson over at Nova Home Loans a call? I know she can help you out in most situations. She'll look at where you're at, try to find a loan that best fits what you need. And she can even do things like rural off-grid properties. She can definitely help you out. She'll walk you through the whole process. And if you're already a homeowner and you're looking to refinance the property, she can help you with that as well. She'll find the best program to fit your needs. Give Kim Dawson a call right now at 928-310-6458. That's 928-310-6458, or you can go online and visit our website, novahomeloans.com/Kim Dawson. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411, Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087, BK number 090242, Equal Housing Opportunity, subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. Let's start with Congressman Gosar first. We expect to get him on the program perhaps next week. We were going to have him on this week. Something came up, so we'll get him back. He usually spends a lot of time with us, so we'll look forward to that. But he did go on a little bit of a tweet storm, you know, put out a bunch of tweets regarding the Arizona's attorney general race. He tweeted out that he's concerned about one of the candidates, I guess, and he mentioned Abraham Hamaday. Now, I want to say this. I had on Abraham Hamaday, Abe Hamaday. He did a very good interview. I think he has a really compelling life story and all that. And I think, you know, if he gets through, I'm happy to support him. Myself, and you heard this last week, I voted for Rodney Glassman just because I've known Rodney for years, and I think he's going to be the best one to do this. And there's that personal connection there when you know somebody and you get insights into them, and you're like, okay, I think I got a pretty good shot of this person doing a good job. I could be wrong. This has happened before, right? So that's what I went with. But anyway, I guess Congressman Gosar is also supporting Rodney Glassman, and he tweeted this. We are blessed in Arizona to have a deep bench of excellent candidates in the AG race. I endorsed at Rodney Glassman because of his extensive trial experience and his rule of law philosophy, but I recognize other people prefer Tiffany Shedd or Abraham Hamaday. My wife ruled out Tiffany Shedd really based on what Mark Howitt said yesterday too, which is if you send me text messages 500 times a week, and maybe it wasn't that much, but she sent so many text messages over the past year, her campaign, that you just got turned off over that. Anyway, those are kind of your three top tier candidates, I believe. Rodney Glassman, Tiffany Shedd, Abraham Hamaday. All primary candidates, according to Gosar's tweets, can rest assured I will back and vigorously support the winner. Same here. I have been made aware of a transaction, however, from at Abraham Hamaday that puzzles me. On March 21st, he reported a $1 million loan and a $1.2 million in cash on hand, which is an excellent quarterly report, which came out March 31st. The next report would come out June 30th. On April 4th, he tweeted his cash on hand at $1,062,000. But later that same day, he returned the $1 million loan, thus leaving a cash on hand of $62,000. This would not be known until the end of June disclosure. On June 15th, however, the president endorsed Abe, and President Trump came in and endorsed Abraham Hamaday. If full disclosure to President Trump was made of the actual cash on hand balance, then this is no big deal, but still unusual. But if not, it could be seen as misleading. I'm not saying anything was done wrong, only that this is unusual, and B, I'm asking if this was disclosed to the president prior to the endorsement. I personally don't care about a candidate's cash situation. I endorse based on principle, but most do care. Anyway, just a little bit of internal battling, I guess, going on as far as the nomination goes. It's kind of strange, though. Yeah, you'd have a loan and then withdraw it. And this is all according to Congressman Paul Gosar. So we'll see what happens in this race. And I'm with Paul Gosar on this, Congressman Gosar. I'll support whoever comes out of this thing because I think that position of attorney. No, I don't think. I know that position of attorney general is really one of the most important positions in the state. In some cases, it can be even more so than the governor. who we get in there, because the AG can put a stop to things the governor is doing, can put a stop to things that the Arizona legislature is doing. Rodney Glassman talked about this on the program last time he was on, and the last several times he's been on, that he's supposed to, the attorney general is your attorney. They're supposed to protect, I can't remember the exact word he used, but something like this. The AG is supposed to protect you from the government. And I don't feel that's happened the past. Let me back up. I think Attorney General Mark Brnovich has done that selectively, battling the Arizona Board of Regents and many other things that he did. And I applaud him, and I like Mark Brnovich, known him for years, been a big, strong supporter of his, although I'm not on the Senate race because I think he needs a rest from politics, because I think it's gotten into him a little bit. And I also think that he missed the boat, and where he's losing a lot of votes and support, Brnovich I'm talking, is he didn't come out battling for the little guy when it comes to the selective closures that Governor Ducey did, that the governor did, and you know, said this business can stay open, you can't. They're playing king. We called him Lord Ducey for a while. And Brnovich had the opportunity and the power to put a stop to that and say, no, this is illegal, this is unconstitutional. Eviction moratoriums, commercial, residential, all of that. So the power of the attorney general is very important. So I appreciate Congressman Gosar pointing this out. I don't know all the facts behind it. If Abe wants to come back on the show, that's fine. I don't think it's a big deal as far as money on hand and all that either, just like Paul said. But I do think if it wasn't disclosed to President Trump, I think it does show a little bit of sleight of hand, but I'm not sure. Love your thoughts. TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. That's TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. Hey, sponsors, Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona. You know Gutter Helmet is the number one gutter protection company in the world. I've talked about them for years. Give Carl, the Gutter Helmet man, a call or a text right now. He can help you out and talk to you about their great reverse, the multi-patented reverse curve system that they've got that deflects all the pine needles and all the leaves and all that junk, so you don't have to go up on your ladder and go up on your roof and clean out those gutters anymore. Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona, they'll come out, they'll put this system in, and Gutter Helmet, you know, they have a lifetime warranty. They've got 40 years of experience, and if you call right now and you mention the Jeff Horvitz show, mention the show, save up to 30%. And don't forget, if you're a senior, if you're military, if you're a first responder, there's discounts available for that as well. Call or text Carl, the Gutter Helmet man. Here's the number, 928-318-6555. That's 928-318-6555. Or you can go to gutterhelmetnaz.com. I'm going to hold, will I get to this? Yeah, I was watching a George Gammon video. He's been on the program. He's got a pretty good following on YouTube. He was on one or two other times in the past. I'll try to get to that next hour, because he's talking about the inflationary environment and how there's still like people who are on loan forbearance that's going on, and people that are still getting, that are still utilizing stimulus money that's still pushing through the system, causing a lot of inflation. So I'll cover that. I'll try to next hour. If not, we'll save it for Friday's show. Also, next hour, hour two of the program, we're going to talk cryptocurrencies, and I know this stuff can be really confusing, but I think it's going to become a big part of the world going forward. Not just cryptocurrencies, but the blockchain technology behind it. I really don't understand it, and I hope, I've tried to have a couple people on in the past to explain this. We're going to try it again next hour. And we're going to bring on some folks from IDX Digital Assets. Glenn Lee's connected us. So stick around for that. Very important stuff. And send me those emails. TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. That's TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. Hang tight. Back in just a few.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
All right, I got some guests in the studio. We'll talk about cryptocurrencies, change it up just a bit. Plus, Olivia will be by, and we'll add to that giveaway again. Another hour of the show starts now. All right, welcome back to another hour of the show. Jeff Horvitz here. If you want to chime in, the Just Wireless listener line's open just for you anytime, 877-9713-971. Plus, you can also send an email. I'd love to get your email comments in. Maybe this last segment coming up, bring Olivia in for that. TalkWithJeff@iCloud.com. Sponsor is SunState Tech. Since 2007, SunState Tech has been making sure that your business, and if you're a municipality out there, making sure that you have cybersecurity, you're aware of your cybersecurity and all the cybersecurity issues. If you go to sunstatetech.com right now, you can take their free, no obligation technology risk assessment. Cybersecurity is huge. And I think with my guest coming up here, we'll talk a bit about cybersecurity and blockchain and all that as well. But go to sunstatetech.com today, learn more. And like I said, take advantage of their free, no obligation technology risk assessment. That's sunstatetech.com. And Glenn Liest is here in the studio with me to do kind of a market update, but I think a little different this time, cryptocurrencies.
Yeah. So with me in the studio is some of our friends at IDX. They have, we have Ben McMillan, who's the chief investment officer, and then Ben Jacobson, who's a managing partner. And they're actually a group out of Scottsdale that we've started to partner with to offer different cryptocurrency solutions for our clients that are desiring that.
Okay.
And so we had a whole Bitcoin 101 series on the podcast that we're going to
be
launching.
Yeah, that's coming up Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be launching.
At noon.
Yep. And then we're also going to be having a webinar available. And so it's an interesting space because I think a lot of people, they hear the word cryptocurrency and
I don't get it.
I don't get it. What is it? How does this work? Should I be looking at it? I heard it's risky. What if it goes to zero? You know, Silk Road. There's all sorts of things that come up, but we have a chance to kind of.
It's very confusing to understand. Let me put a disclosure out here first. I don't give financial advice. If you hear something here and if you go invest and lose money, that's you. You need to educate yourself.
Yeah.
So I want to put that out there. I also want to put out that I do invest some with Glenn Liest, who also invests some with IDX digital assets.
Yeah.
Even though I know little about cryptocurrency. Thanks, Glenn. All right, let's start. Give me the basic. Okay, we got Ben and Ben here, so it's going to be a little confusing. We'll start with Ben Jacobson, who is the managing director. I don't get it. I mean, what is a crypto? Okay, I got a piece of real estate. I got a goat, and I'm going to bring it to Glenn to transact and get 10 of his chickens.
Is that the exchange rate now?
It's a 10 to 1.
I think there's inflation going on in the goat
chicken
market as
to
well.
Goat exchange. Yeah, days. Yeah, right. I get, honestly, and there's been this battle between gold, traditional gold, and cryptos that's kind of gone on. You can maybe address that. I can tell you I own a little bit of gold and silver, too. I get having a physical ounce of gold coin. But what do you tell someone when they say, I don't get crypto?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And it's one we get pretty often, mostly kind of friends and family, as they know I'm very, very deep in this business. But I think there's a common there's a common way of looking at it here where it's like, okay, I want to go in and understand every single thing about it. But, you know, Jeff, I'm willing to bet that 25 years ago when the internet started coming out and emails coming out, your first thought was, well, what do I need this email for? Right.
Yeah. Or a cell phone or a smartphone.
Cell phones. Yet, you know, we live in the world where there's people that have seen, you know, cell phones that are in your car, cell phones that are the size of a briefcase, right?
Yeah.
Cell phones that fit
the
in the palm
phone.
Of your hand. Yeah, the brick phone, yeah. Right? And then now, cell phones that are in your watch, and who knows what's going to come next. So I think the bigger thing here is to kind of zoom out and just look at this as, hey, this isn't just, you know, cryptocurrencies per se. These are all driven by this thing called the blockchain underneath, and that blockchain is a new technology that has vast applications well beyond just transferring assets back and forth. So, you know, we really, when we speak with clients, we really like to create the analogy more so stop thinking of this as a new dollar. Start thinking about this as a new developing technology that goes so far beyond the dollar. The same way that, you know, the internet was for this little book company called Amazon. Well, now, you know, both you guys, you know, Glenn and Jeff have websites and everybody's part of this. So this is just about us being early in that life cycle. A lot of folks like to say, you know, first, second, third inning type of thing here.
Okay. Well, let me ask Ben McMillan, who's the chief investment officer, because, okay, we talked a little bit about crypto. Then we go to blockchain, and that's where I get even more confused. What the heck is blockchain? What is that? How can you explain to that to someone who is technology illiterate? Just let's go down to that level. You're up here, and I get it, but I'm like down on the ground there by that smushed bug. There's no smushed bug for real. But go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think the simplest way to think about it is, you know, blockchain technology really is just a digital ledger. So when you go to the bank and you transfer $1,000 from your account to your wife's account, you know, that's a digital transfer that takes place. In this case, the bank records that transfer. Blockchain technology kind of does the same thing, except it's decentralized. And that's important, as you know, as you know, we've talked about before, because when it's decentralized and no one controls it, you know, then it's what they call permissionless. It's censorship resistant. Nobody can then, you know, turn access on and off. And that's an issue that's becoming increasingly important, which is one of the reasons that, you know, blockchain technology is getting a lot more interest these days. But that's really, to boil it down, it's just digital ledger technology.
Okay, so it's tracking it kind of along, but in a decentralized way. How is it decentralized? Because I think of, you mentioned Amazon. So they've got their big server farms or whatever, I presume, and that's all on computers. So blockchain has to be on something somewhere. It doesn't exist in the ether. I don't think. Is it on multiple computers? Is it on my flash drive? Explain that.
No, that's
exactly, unicorns.
That's exactly it. So you think about, you know, AWS, these Amazon kind of server clusters or Google clusters or whatever. You know, that's the computing power. Imagine if you took a little piece of that and just distributed it globally. So everybody was kind of contributing to that computing power. That is the blockchain. It's no more complicated than that. And so that's why, you know, it's harder to shut down, because, you know, with Amazon, you know, that's a centralized location. They obviously control it. You know, there's been concerns about can governments, you know, make cryptocurrencies illegal. China tried. And the reason they couldn't was because, you know, there's tens of thousands of distributed computers across the entire globe. I think at this point on every continent, including Antarctica. And so that's the real power.
There's computers in Antarctica.
There's, I think, one of the scientists.
It's cold, I guess. You got to keep this stuff cold.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly. One of the scientists set up a Bitcoin miner in Antarctica a couple of years ago. And so now.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that must be fun. Anyway, Glenn Lees is here too.
Yeah. And so as I'm walking through this conversation, kind of how we got to this point is a couple years ago, I had a young man come into my office and he was talking about Bitcoin. And this is maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And I was going, what's a Bitcoin? I don't know what that is. And he's like, well, here, let me show you. And he opens up his computer and there's like $1.5 million worth of it. And this kid was like 18 or 19.
Wow.
I'm going, wow, you must have been an early adopter. So it started me on the journey to first look into it. And I actually started off with the intent to disprove these cryptocurrencies as a scam, or this is, you know, terrible idea, you shouldn't do this. And in the process, I came to understand there's a lot of applications for it, and really understanding the technology is helping me grow where I see this future of these technologies moving forward in the next 5 or 10 years. So we talk about the decentralized nature, and I think that's becoming more and more of a topic of discussion, because right now the US dollar is fairly stable, but there's the reality that in the last 2 years during the pandemic, we've printed over $8 trillion worth of funny money. I mean, they just created it out of nowhere. And so we've seen record inflation. And who's not to say that they print another $8 trillion or $20 trillion? And so, you know, in the US dollar, does that, you know, does it create more inflation and less value? Who's to say? But I mean, if you live in Venezuela where it's 50% inflation per month, and the government's really just pumping out money every month, you might look for a different store of assets that cannot be controlled or censored or turned off or manipulated by that current government.
I get all that. And I am a big fan of decentralization. I can't stand the Federal Reserve. They have got us into this disaster.
Sure.
The politicians helped print $9, $10, $11 trillion the past few years, and then told everyone to stay at home and not work, and production went down, and everybody was buying crap online. So I'm a big fan of decentralization, but if there's two avenues here, and we only have so much time, we could probably spend hours on this. Which Ben is appropriate for this, Jacobson or Macmillan? Isn't, when we talk about dollars and currencies, like cryptocurrencies, like Bitcoin, if it gets so popular, wouldn't the governments come in? And I interviewed Jim Rogers, an author, investor, and he said, well, if it gets too big, governments just going to come in and say, we got the guns, don't do it anymore. It's no longer a medium of transaction, I guess, going forward, or even transfer. Is it even a medium of transaction right now? Or is it just a transfer mechanism?
Well, I mean, it's a good question. So the government can certainly make it difficult. So, you know, that's...
They make everything difficult, but go ahead.
You know, that's the reality. You know, they're in the business of regulation. And so that's one of the, you know, that was one of the concerns, frankly, with the original infrastructure bill, was that the language for crypto was looking at it as kind of just an easy money grab. And, you know, fast forward, now I think the language is a lot more thoughtful. It talks about fostering innovation. So the reality is, you know, any government can effectively make crypto illegal. Now that said, people could, you know, still transact on the black market. You know, there's, even when, you know, China made it as difficult as they could for their citizens, you know, you'd hear stories about people kind of downloading all their crypto on a USB drive and, you know, defecting to other countries. So, you know, your question too about, you know, kind of medium of exchange, I think that's where a lot of the current regulation is focused, because crypto obviously is extremely volatile. That's why people like us are in business. But there's a corner of the crypto market called stable coins. You know, these are, you know, digital private currencies that track the dollar. And those have a lot of appeal for payments. You know, that's an easy way. If you don't want the crypto market volatility, but you want the ease and the innovation of blockchain technology, stable coins is a way to, you know, to run about, you know, run your daily life, you know, just using crypto as payments. And that's where I think the government regulation is, you know, if it can foster stable coins in the right way, that's where we'll see, I think, a big uptick in crypto adoption among people, you know, just looking at using stable coins, you know, as a replacement for their debit card, for example.
Okay. And I think maybe we all agree that the government's going to get into digital currency soon.
Fed
coin, whatever the heck you want to call it. They're going to do that and they don't want competition. The government's very monopolistic. So let's look at cryptos and really the blockchain technology. Is the use more in not so much transfer and transactions between people? Is it more in the data and what you refer to as the ledger going forward? And I think we were talking off air about like music, for example. Like, hey, this got played on Jeff's recorder. It shoots back and forth and records that whole transaction, and then people can get paid. Is it more in that regard, you think, the future?
Well, it's all of the above, and this is one of the big things. You know, before it was just Bitcoin, and then, you know, now of course there's thousands of cryptocurrencies, and we always get the question, why do we need all these thousands of cryptocurrencies? Well, they do different things. Now, I'm not saying all 8,000 have utility. A lot of them are just kind of stupid meme coins, but there's a lot of different cryptos that do very specific things. You know, there's a crypto that's designed to help, you know, music royalty payments, and it's a way to intermediate kind of the centralized platforms like a Spotify or something like that, where the artist can go direct. And you've seen real name artists do that. 21 Pilots, for example, have utilized blockchain technology to kind of release their album in a way that was kind of more democratic. And so you're seeing, you know, certain blockchain technology focus on stable coins, where it's, you know, it's just payments layers. You're seeing it, you know, you're seeing certain blockchains focus on gaming. And so what's interesting is that the innovation is kind of happening in all directions, you know, which is, you know, that's one of the benefits of decentralized technology, is you get a lot of innovation happening in kind of all directions at once.
I was even thinking is, why not just have one stock company in the world? Why not just have Amazon as the only company? Because,
well, the Soviets tried that.
You have to have different companies that specialize and do different things. And so I was just thinking the same analogy with the cryptocurrencies. Why not just have Bitcoin, that be all? Well, I mean, that's a great technology and it's a good thing, but, you know, there's going to be other utilities, other uses for it, you know, whereas you're tracking the, you know, music royalties. There's another one that we talked about called the Origin Trail, which basically says, you know, say you go to Starbucks and you order a cup of coffee, you can see every ingredient, every distributor, every place that's passed hands through. So if you're really health conscious and you say, I want to see exactly what's in this, where it was made sure it was, you know, ethically, you know, created and farmed, you can use that technology to trace everything back, and it's very transparent. So that's just one example of many. So I, you know, when you talk about, you know, what are the applications, I think it's wide open for what, you know, can be used and what's done. And so that makes it very exciting. And I think you've got your stable coins, talking about that. Is the government going to, you know, regulate? I actually think it would be in the government's best interest to play ball and not try to, you know, push, you know, cryptocurrencies out, but instead say, how can we integrate this? Because it's going to happen regardless. I mean, the rest of the world's going to keep moving.
And so we've seen that quite honestly recently with the Russia-Ukraine war. We have sanctions. There's all kinds of sanctions against Russia and, you know, McDonald's left and whoever. And there's, the Lenin burger now. They replaced it with their own burger joint, right? And then you have Russia transacting with China and India and Brazil, the BRIC countries. So if we just say, no, we're not going to do anything and we're going to hold out, the world will move on. I think Glenn makes a really good point there. But this is evolving. Let's end with this, because I think I'll have to have you guys back, because I still don't get it. But I don't know if I have to get it, because quite frankly, I don't understand. We have this board here that does amazing technology. I couldn't build this thing. Yeah. We have the internet that does anyone really know how anything works anymore?
Do you know how electricity works to the very core, or do you say, hey, I can flip on the light switch and utilize it? So we need to know some of the basics of it to be a little comfortable, which is what we're.
That's what I want is the basics. And it's here and it's going to grow. It's just like the internet, like you said, during the tech boom and tech bubble that happened when Amazon was with a bunch of other companies, and most of them are gone now. I don't get it, but obviously there's something there, and people should definitely be aware of it going forward. But we've joked a lot about, you know, these, you know, it's the end of the world. We have an EMP or something, right? And people buy the seeds. You know, they have all these seeds, but they've never planted anything in their life. So, I mean, if things really hit the fan, nobody knows how to do anything anymore anyway. I don't understand blockchain. Ben and Ben, but I think this is here to stay, and I think we better try to understand it more, because you probably don't even know where this is going to end, what the end road looks like.
No, we don't. And, you know, I think that's a question that we get all the time. And, you know, Ben McMillan here, he's often on CNBC or Bloomberg or Fox Business, what have you. And, you know, they ask him all the time, where is this going? Right? Like, what is the end price?
Yeah.
Tell us where Bitcoin's going to be at the end of the year. And what we tell folks is, look, this is a evolving new technology. What did we see with the tech boom? We saw this massive run up from the late 90s to the early 2000s, a massive sell off. And then from there, the next 15, 20 years, you know, the main drivers of the S&P 500 were these tech companies. So I think that's kind of the way that we got to think about it. So going from there, the question becomes, well, how do we participate, right? How do we participate if something is going to be this volatile as a new technology comes to place? And it's got this whole price discovery mechanism that's still happening. And, you know, there are groups out there like IDX that aim to, you know, give investors exposure to this space without necessarily succumbing a lot of the same sell-offs and drawbacks that really hurt your ability to compound wealth over time.
But again, I don't give financial advice, but you probably shouldn't be betting the farm on it. It's like anything.
Do not think that anybody should
because
be
it's a volatile. Yeah. I mean, if we've seen anything with the price, I mean, everything's been pretty volatile lately.
Yeah. And this is actually where we've done a lot of due diligence with IDX. I've been talking with them for almost a year before we started offering, you know, some of their solutions within our portfolios, because the risk mitigation was a huge part of it.
Yeah.
Is this right for everyone? Absolutely not. But I think there's enough.
At night?
Is there enough people that have expressed an interest or willingness to learn more to say, I agree that this is going to be going somewhere soon? And how do I do that? And this is where this relationship really can shine for our clients, is we can offer these solutions and have those discussions of what's right for them, help educate them, because I personally have, you know, their solutions in my portfolio, and I think a lot of us should really be taking a hard look at this. Even if you're 100% opposed to cryptocurrency, like I was,
educate yourself.
Yeah,
and educate yourself.
If that's still the same decision, then great, that's fine. But I think we'd be remiss to not look at it and not learn more about this emerging technology.
Yeah,
who knows?
Understand
where it's
the blockchain.
Yeah.
Understand all that, or at least try to have a basic knowledge of it, that of how it works. And I'll draw the line of this technology is advancing so much. I don't know if life's getting easier or harder as we get. I think we had it really dialed in the like late 90s, early 2000s.
Jeff, if you really want, Amazon just published a new technology. I think it's Alexa. They can take the voice imprint of a deceased loved one, as long as they have a minute to 2 minutes of their voice, and then they can use an AI to calibrate that, and then basically have your passed on loved one, whoever may be
like
talk to you.
6 day stuff
I was thinking that's kind of a weird sales.
Remember
pitch.
That movie?
With Arnold Schwarzenegger.
If I have to go down to the mall and have a pet remade, I mean, it's just getting too weird. Okay, we'll have you guys back, and as this evolves, and explain it even more. But just educate yourself is all I can say to people.
Exactly. Yeah.
Going forward, Ben, Glenn, really appreciate it. We'll talk with you guys soon.
Thanks, Jeff.
And if you folks have a comment, love to hear from you. Send an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. Plus, you can chime in on the Just Wireless listener line, 877. Leave your comments today, 877-9713-971. And remember, Just Wireless has two locations in Flagstaff, right across from the Flagstaff Mall. Also, right there on Milton Avenue, West Flagstaff, before you get to I-17. You can drop off your smartphone. I don't think that Zach takes cryptocurrency. I'm not sure on that, Glenn.
I thought he had a Bitcoin ATM.
Does he have a Bitcoin?
No, I just in another place. I'm not sure.
Okay,
I'd drive past.
All right.
We'll see.
Yeah, we won't put that on him. But anyway, $90 or so, you can usually get your smartphone repaired. Save your money nowadays because the economy is absolutely crazy. Check out Just Wireless at these two locations, right across from Flagstaff Mall and in West Flagstaff. Also, JustWirelessAZ.com. That's JustWirelessAZ.com. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up. Try to get to a couple of your comments as well. Hang tight. Back in a minute. It's been a busy day here in the studio. I Olivia's with me, and my son Owen's with us as well. I got to pick up another mic because I had those my crypto guys there. Ben and Ben had to share a mic.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
the good old days.
You good?
That's what it reminds me of.
We've had to do that, especially when we're on the road, right? We've had to share a mic plenty of times. We don't have to do that
torture.
Now. Yeah, busy day though. Thank you to Ben, and Glenn. You can't make that up. And to Blake Masters last hour. If you missed my Blake Masters interview, we'll get that podcast here. Don't forget you subscribe to the podcast. It is free. Anyone can do it. Look up the Jeff Orvitz Show on your favorite podcast provider. Orvitz is spelled O-R-A-V as in Victor, I-T-S. And subscribe and share.
While you're there doing that, you can also enter our giveaway.
Yes.
Like we have said many times, we're adding something every day. And today we're adding $20 at Namarco's Pizza.
Yeah, and so this thing's built up pretty good.
I know. We also have $20 at Sportsman's Bar and Grill. We have a $50 debit card, which is courtesy of Gettle's High Desert Mechanical, but you can spend that anywhere. And then we also have, from Timberline Firearms and Training, a $35 value range time and firearm rental.
Okay, so we've got, what is that? That adds up to $125?
I wasn't counting, so.
Owen, we got 50. Let's do math. It's good for everybody to hear math because I think math is delinquent in our country, especially looking at the state of our finances and the national debt. So let's start with the basics. We should get the old abacus.
35 plus 40 plus what's the other one?
You're already confusing us. We had 20 at Sportsman's, 20 at Namarco's. 40. That's 40. Good job, Owen. He got that before me. Another $50 Visa debit card from Gettle's.
90.
90. That's quick. And then here's
40 plus 50.
Here's it was quicker than me. Here's the final one, $35 range time and gun rental at Timberline Firearms and Training. The total is
125.
Yeah, 125. You
math
did
on the air.
Better math than most politicians can do right there, because I don't think they can add that high. I think they lost track a long time.
They lost track around 15, yeah. 16.
Well, I'm glad to add Namarco's to this because best pizza in Flagstaff, in Arizona, we all say, right? We love Namarco's. We love getting their wings. We love getting you like their pepperoni slices, Owen?
Yeah, and the Hawaiian is really good.
Hawaiian, yeah, with
same. We like the same stuff.
Yeah, so good stuff there, and they've got craft beers. And you stop by any of their three locations. Thank you to Namarco's Pizza for being part of this big giveaway. And you can order online, namarcospizza.com. In case you don't win, which we're going to draw this next Thursday, but the drawing ends on Wednesday. So we're adding every day. So we'll add at least three or four more entries here coming up. So good
and
stuff.
And real quick, for anybody who doesn't know, to enter, go to talkwithjeff.com under sponsors and giveaway. It should be there really clear. You enter, super easy, name, email, give us some kind of comment.
Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty clear.
And get in by next Wednesday.
Yeah, if it's not clear to you, then I don't know if you deserve a pizza.
Well, I mean, tons of people have entered. So.
Yeah, no, it's been good. We'll maybe read some of those comments on tomorrow's big weekly roundup on Friday's show. Let's see here. I want to get to a couple of items here, but I mentioned this last hour, I think, that I didn't have time. I ran out towards the end of the hour. I've had on George Gammon, who does videos on YouTube. He's got several hundred thousand followers now, and he follows economics and finance and all that. And he was talking about the inflation. I think it's worth looking up his YouTube channel. And I always like spreading the word of people I think are doing a good job out there. But he was talking about how he thinks that the inflation is going to continue on for even longer than he expected. And he pointed to a couple of key things that the student loan, there's still people out there with money who are spending money from all the money the government pumped in. Right. So there's still a lot of that money out there. And then there's also people not being super productive, even though the unemployment rate is something like 3%, 3.something% for unemployment, which is insanely low. He was saying that in the student loan payment pause that Biden did, this is where student loans don't have to pay back their money. They're still doing that. I wasn't aware that that was still going on. It's supposed to last till September. So they've had all that extra money kicking around that they haven't had to pay for student loans. And so that's been juicing into the economy in other ways. And he pointed out, and I think he's right. Why would the politicians let this thing expire right in the middle of election season? So I bet you see an extension on this thing because politicians aren't going to take away the quote unquote, air quote, free stuff when they're trying to get reelected, because all they care about, most of them, is getting back in.
And all the other people care about is getting stuff for free and not having to work.
Yeah, another one here, mortgage forbearance is still going on as well. This was something that was hit in the middle of COVID and the COVID hysterics. And it's it allowed people to go to their banks and say, hey, I can't pay this and I'll have to pay it later. It was in the CARES Act. While there's not a lot of people going for forbearance, they still are. They could still actually apply for mortgage forbearance. And there's many people that are exiting mortgage forbearance very slowly. So think about if you have $1,500, $2,000 a month mortgage or whatever it is, and you're not having to put that money into your mortgage, what are they doing with the money? Paying for other things, and it's increasing the inflation. Go ahead.
There's so many things like that that happen that they pass that it's like you just forget about, and it's still happening.
It's
like
still
I completely
there.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, so I just wanted to point it out because I think he made some really good comments that and points. George Gammond, you can look that up, Gammond, in his video, his most recent video that came, I believe, today or yesterday. So I think we're going to see the inflation for a lot longer, but there's a lot of things, like Olivia just said, that are still at play in the background. That we're not even paying attention to anymore. I'd love your thoughts, though. Send an email, talkwithjeff@icloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@icloud.com. I don't know if I shot this out in the last segment with Glenn, Ben, and Ben talking cryptocurrencies, but if you want to get hold of Glenn over at WT Wealth Management, I do want to shoot out his number here. Not only does he contribute here on the program, does a great job, and not only do I do some work with him and do some investing with him, but I also he's also a great sponsor on the program. So I love working with people, and I hope you'll at least give him a call and at least consider him and get a no-cost consultation. Here's the number, 928-225-2474. That's 928-225-2474. Owen, you guys went to kind of a Northern Arizona, gem, something that especially in Flagstaff, Lowell Observatory. Good stuff. I mean,
yeah.
Did you get to? You went during the day, though. You didn't get to look through the telescope. Did you get to look through the telescope?
No, like that's only down at night.
Well, I figured that, but it sounded pretty stupid there anyway.
Well, we wanted to look at the clouds.
Look at the. Can you look at like planes going by or something? I don't know. I haven't been up there in years, and they're most famous for
discovering Pluto,
which is no longer a planet.
Well, yeah, the ex planet.
Pluto is a planet.
We got jipped on that. I mean, I think Pluto should still be a planet. But what do they do? Like tours? You can go look at through the. What do you do? Maybe people want something to do coming up this upcoming weekend.
You go see the telescope that they discovered lots of stuff on Mars. Well, they studied Mars with.
Okay.
And then
did they find the aliens, the Martians?
Yeah.
Actually,
it's a cover-up story. Pluto didn't exist ever. It was just the Martians.
Actually, didn't they map out things that they thought looked like canals or something on Mars? I remember reading something about that.
There are canyons on Mars.
But they thought they might have been canals that people were, like, Martians were digging.
There's, like, chunks of ice under rocks that, like, the rover has found.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah. Rover. Like, the robot, the NASA.
Robot. Pretty sure it's, I don't know, I forgot its name, but.
Oh, I saw that when, but the rover got destroyed by the Decepticons.
Yeah.
I saw that in Transformers.
Oh, I was like, what are you talking about?
So most listeners are like, what are you talking about here? We like the Transformers. It's cool. Yeah. It's fun to watch. Yeah, but they were saying that that's what actually happened to the rover. It was got stomped by Megatron or something like that. Yeah, so how'd they find Pluto? Do you remember that? I mean, was it just like, can you see that through the telescope? Or are they like observing like different locations?
Well,
don't look at me. He's the space expert.
He's the space guy.
Well, apparently, Mr. Lowell, what he did was he would, I forgot the name of the machine. It was sort of like a telescope, but it would like watch the sky. Basically, he would put a sheet of glass or like something in that would, like, every night. It would show him, like, all the stars, everything, planets.
It would basically take a picture.
Okay.
Yeah, like a space telescope picture maker.
Well, this is why people should probably just go up there and take the I think it's cool to do these things and do, like, these kind of local staycation things where you could go see stuff. So you should probably go because we don't have the correct terminology.
Yeah, we're so scientific on this show.
We're so scientific, yeah. Good time, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, good stuff. All right. That's it for today. They got to go sign up for this giveaway. Talkwithjeff.com. Sponsors and giveaways.
You definitely want
to
win this.
Yeah, we're growing this pot to, as Owen pointed out with his math, $125.
Plus more to come.
Yeah, more to come. Go to talkwithjeff.com. Click on sponsors and giveaways. Weekly wrap-up tomorrow. And it'll be busy. Oh, we're going to do real estate, big real estate market update with Kelly Broaddus. Join us starting at 4:06 tomorrow. Have a great, safe night. See you soon.